For in baptism, he gave us his name of honor, so that we have been signed and sealed within him for our eternal destiny in heaven and beyond, in the heaven, in the new heaven and the new world. But he's also placed our names deep within his heart, that he'll never forget us, for he has redeemed us to be his own. And with that thought in mind, let us now begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, Lord. We are gathered together this morning in the name and remembrance of Jesus, your Son, our Savior and Lord. We come before you today to be forgiven, renewed and strengthened with your word and spirit. Because you have prepared for us who love you such blessings that surpass our understanding, direct our love towards you, placing you above all things in our life. Grant us the desire to worship and praise your holy name. Be with us now as we honor you with our presence. Amen. We confess our sins unto God our Father. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for all of us to take away our sins. And for his sake, I announce unto you the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now continue with the singing of our hymns.
Morning. I'm your elder this morning, and it's my privilege to read the scripture lessons from the 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 30 to 37. And we find where Elisha had made frequent trips past this here one house all the time. And so the wife invited him to come in to eat, and he would go in to eat. And then he was doing such great work that they decided to build a room for him so that whenever he come by, he'd have a place to stay and a place to eat. And they were so nice to him that he wanted to do something for them. So he called her in and asked her what he could do for you. And she says, "I'm well content with what I have. I don't need anything." So he asked Gehazi, his servant with him, to go find out what she might need. And he went there and he said, "Well, I find she has no children, not a son, and they're pretty advanced in age." And so he says, "Fine." So he said, "Call the Shunammite women in here." And she came in and he told her, "This time next year, you're going to have a son." "Oh," she said, "don't do this to me. Don't deceive me." And that, because evidently all her life, they're well up in years, all their life they're waiting wanting children, and they didn't have any. So she was so afraid that Elisha was going to deceive her just to make her feel good to give her children. So here we find out that the child got sick and died in her arms. So she took him up and put him on the Elisha's bed, and then told his servants to come, bring a donkey, and I've got to go see the prophet. And so that's where we find her now. She ran and talked to Elisha. But the child's mother said to Elisha, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." She wanted so much for Elisha to go with her because she knew how important it was for him to be there. So Elisha got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was a boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and laid on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite," and he did. And when she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, kids. You can go ahead and come down if you want, or you can stay in your seats and I'll talk to you from here. I brought a little bag this morning with a couple things in it. And the first one here, well, this one's pretty obvious. It's an apple. And we got these from a produce stand, and they're like the biggest apples I've ever seen. It's almost a meal just by itself. And this apple reminds me of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They knew that there was a tree in the middle of the garden that they couldn't eat from, but Satan deceived them, and they ate the fruit. And when they ate the fruit, they realized they were naked. God came down, and he told them that there were some consequences for their sin. And so the children's message today is about things that are good for a little while and then they go bad. So what about this apple? Are apples good for a little while? And then what happens? Well, this one already has a soft spot. Probably can't see it from where you are, but it's got a soft spot. So it's going to go bad soon. If I don't cut that bad spot out and then eat it, it's just going to turn to mush and then my whole refrigerator is going to stink. Has anybody ever opened the refrigerator door and it stinks and you got to go through everything and figure out what it is? So apples, good for a little while, and then they start to decay. Bugs maybe, they start to stink, different things like that. So then I was thinking about what other things are good for a little while and then start to go bad. And I thought of metal. So here's the biggest bolt I have. It's a bolt and a nut. And it's for one of the many projects around my house that I haven't finished yet. But it's shiny and new now, but what do you think will happen to it once it stays out in the rain for a little while? It'll get rusty. So here's a bolt, actually. This is a wheel bolt off of one of my cars. I bought it, and the wheel was tightened too tight, and then it rusted. So do you think the bolt came off very easily? No. So it's actually, I had to drill it out. So it's no good anymore. It's a rusty old bolt that isn't good anymore. And then, oh, here's a block of wood. This is just a piece of scrap wood. And what happens to wood when it gets left out in the rain and it starts to get old? Well, it's good for a little while, and then it starts to rot. It gets soft, bugs get into it, and eventually it just turns into dirt. So wood, good for a little while, and then not any good anymore. But there's one thing that I was thinking of that is good forever, and that's God's Word. And we find God's Word in the Bible. So this Bible, it has a leather cover and pages, and even when the leather wears out and the pages go away, will God's Word still be true? And will all of the promises in God's Word still be good? Yes, they will. And even money. Money's here for a little while and then it's gone later. But God's word is eternal. It lasts forever and the promises in it last forever. And so even the last thing that I brought with me kind of seems silly, but I brought my body with me. Did you all bring your bodies with you this morning? Some of us are young, some of us are old, some of us are in between. Some of us are sick, some of us are healthy, some of us are in between. Our bodies on earth, they won't last forever here, but they will in heaven and on God's new creation that he'll make. And so I want you to think about when you're disappointed, maybe when a new toy that you got breaks because toys break, wood rots, metal rusts, food decomposes. Our bodies even get old and tired, but God's word stays the same forever, and by trusting in it and reading it and knowing the promises in it, we get to live forever with God. Amen? Amen. All right. And I think it's Pastor's turn now.
Thank you very much. That's a wonderful illustration today. At this time, we have children's worship. Those who are 4 years through the fourth grade are welcome to join. A special teaching during the time in which we're gathered here for our teaching into God's Word. So they're back here in the center if you'd like to go with them. Our sermon scripture reading for today is taken from 1 Corinthians. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen now, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Well, good morning again, everyone. Glad to be with you this beautiful Sunday in God's house. It's time for our narrative in which we engage and embed ourselves into the Word of God and see God in action. For His promises are true and His power is beyond human comprehension. We enter now a place in which we find Paul the Apostle anticipating imprisonment for his faith. He was imagining the sound of chains, the screams of the condemned on their way to execution. It was then that he picked up his pen in his hand, took a piece of parchment, and placed the pen firmly upon the paper. As his hand moved swiftly across the paper, the pen, scratched with ink, in bold print, spelled out words of unusual clarity. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Our first narrative this morning, we find one leaving a mortuary. The funeral is over and the burial is next. Ahead walk six family members and friends who carry the coffin that carries the body of a loved one, a son, the only son. One finds herself numb with sorrow and grief. She had lost her husband and now she had lost her son. Now she has no family. If she had any more tears, she would cry. If she had any more faith, she would pray. But both are now in short supply. She just stares at the back of a wooden box. Suddenly, it stops. The pallbearers have stopped, and she stops. The man had stepped in front of the casket. She does not know him. She had never seen him before. He wasn't at the funeral, and she has no idea what he is doing. But before she can object, he steps up to her and says, "Don't cry. Don't cry. This is a funeral. My only son is dead." These were her thoughts, but never become words, because before she can speak, he acts. He turns to the coffin, places his hands upon it, and says in a loud voice, "Young man, I tell you now, get up." Suddenly, there was movement in the casket. The pallbearers lower the casket to the ground, and before it touches the ground, the lid slowly opens. and the people stood in utter amazement. And yet we know that dead people do not sit up and leave their coffins unless Jesus shows up. And if he does, one never knows what might happen next. In our second narrative today, we see a man by the name of Jairus. His daughter was already dead. The mourners were already at his house. The funeral had begun. The people thought the best that Jesus could do was to offer some kind words about the girl. Jesus had some words, but not about the girl, but for the girl. And he says in a soft voice, "My child, stand up." The next thing the father knew, she was eating with the family, and Jesus was smiling, and the hired mourners were sent home. In our third narrative, we find Martha hoping that Jesus would show up to heal Lazarus, but he didn't. Then she'd hope he'd show up to bury Lazarus. He didn't. By the time he made it to Bethany, Lazarus was 4 days after burial. And Martha was wondering, just what kind of friend is Jesus anyway? She then hears that he is now at the edge of town. She hurries out to meet him. She cried out, "Lord, if you had been here." And then she confronts him face to face. "My brother would not have died." There was hurt in those words. One man who could have made a difference didn't. And Martha wants to know why. Perhaps we too have a loved one near the edge of life, and we turn to Jesus for help. Perhaps we too have asked Jesus to intervene. But Martha's thoughts wander. Surely our Lord will come. Didn't he mend the paralytic? Didn't he heal the leper? Didn't he give sight to the blind, and they hardly knew him? Lazarus was his friend. We were all like family to him. Jesus had visited our home on several occasions, but Jesus didn't come. Lazarus got worse, but Jesus didn't come. Her brother drifted in and out of consciousness. She had hoped that Jesus would arrive soon, but Jesus never appeared. Not to help, not to heal, not to bury. And now, 4 days later, he finally shows up. The funeral is over. The body is buried. The grave is sealed. And Martha was devastated. Her words have been echoed in 1,000 cemeteries since. "If you had been here, he would not have died. If you really cared, oh God, my spouse would still have lived. If you truly loved us, oh Lord, our child would have lived. If you had heard my prayer, oh Savior, my arms wouldn't be empty today." The death and the grave unearths one's view of God. When one faces death, one's definition of God is changed. Such challenges can weaken one's faith. But why is it that one interprets the presence of death as an absence of God. Why does one think if the body is not healed, then God is not near? Is healing the only way our Lord demonstrates his presence? When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he couldn't bear just to sit and watch the bereaved, acting as though there were no hope of that wonderful life he intends for us beyond the grave. Jesus didn't raise the dead for the sake of the dead. He raised the dead for the sake of the living. It was then that Jesus stood before the tomb, and he spoke in a loud, firm, and confident voice, "Lazarus, come out." Martha was silent as Jesus commanded. The mourners were now hushed. No one stirred as Jesus stood face to face with the rock-hewn grave. And he demanded that the grave release his friend. No one moved. Not one stirred, except Lazarus. Deep within the tomb, he moved. His stilled heart began to beat again. His lungs filled with air again. His eyes opened within the wrappings around it. His fingers, his arms, his legs hinged again and bolted upward. And the mummified man in the tomb sat up and walked out. At everyone's amazement, this dead man came out. His hands, his feet, his face were still wrapped in the cloth of death. And yet we ask ourselves this morning, just what kind of Lord do we worship? What kind of God do we adore with praise? And what kind of Savior do we give thanks to? For it is the Lord our God who holds the keys to life and death for all people. It is the Savior who faced our death. He entered its destructive power of crucifixion and burial. He conquered it in resurrection once and for all on behalf of all his loved ones. This is the kind of God we want at our funeral, for he will do it again. He's promised he would, and he has shown us he can. The same voice that awoke the boy at Nain and stirred the dead daughter of Jairus and awakened the corpse of Lazarus, that same voice will speak again soon. And then there will be no more death. Jesus made sure of that. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord forever. Amen. We now continue with the singing of our next hymn.
Thank you.
We now continue with the sharing of our common Christian faith together as we speak together the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. We continue now with our prayers for today. Heavenly Father, giver of every good and perfect gift, hear us this morning as we turn our hearts and minds to you in quiet prayer. You have called us into the body of your precious Son. Help us to live as one within him, for you have given us one faith. You have given us one baptism and one communion. You have given us apostles and prophets. You let us receive your gifts with oneness of heart. You have equipped us for the unity of faith. You have given us your love in Jesus. You have built the church of your will in providing service of your holy purpose. We also pray for those among us today, especially two former St. Mark's members who were called home in Jesus this past week, Kathy Trower and Keenan Schott. We pray for peace and comfort for all who love them, and we thank Jesus for taking them to be with him in heaven, to enjoy the reward he has prepared for them. We also thank the Lord for bringing Carol Mangrum safely through her emergency appendectomy this past week and has given her strength to be restored. Lord, we also pray for our country that's struggling with her existence, her purpose that you have for her. Our values are being challenged. Our way forward is being clouded. We also pray for those who serve us in all avenues of life. And we pray for all those in need of our prayers today. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, your precious Son, our amazing Savior, as we now pray the prayer he has taught all his brothers and sisters to pray with him forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to each of them, saying, "Take and eat. For this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to each of them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Receive the blessing of our Lord and our Savior, our God and our King. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace forever. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm always fascinated by the first and the last words of Scripture. The first words, of course, is, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And the last words God left us in Scripture, Jesus speaks to us and he says, "Be patient. Behold, I am coming soon for you." And we hold on to that promise all the days of our life. The announcements today are many, so buckle up. We're going for a ride. First of all, we are in need of ushers, especially at the 11 o'clock service. We ask you to please talk to Mike or Gary this morning as you leave worship. If you are willing to help at the annual rummage sale, please see the bulletin or sign up book at the Connection Center for details. The beneficiaries of this year's profits will be Women's Ministry, the MOPS program, and a new air conditioning project. Many volunteers are needed to accomplish this big project. If you can stay for a little while following our worship service this morning to help set up tables in the gym, that would be great. Just remember, be back here at 9:30 for Bible class for the most interesting topic you've probably heard for some time. Part one, what happens to a Christian from the time he dies until Judgment Day? And the second part is learning about what kind of body we will have once our bodies are resurrected. If that doesn't interest you, I don't know what will. Also, all of our high school graduates from this year are invited to be at church next Sunday, August 1st, for a special send-off during worship. Come to either worship, and if you haven't already done so, please get a recent graduation picture to Lauren Bates. On Sunday, August 15th, we will dedicate our new and returning St. Mark's Lutheran school teachers. Come and meet them and enjoy a brunch together from 9:30 to 10:30 in the gym. There'll be no Sunday school or Bible class that day. I don't teach that day. Okay. On Sunday, August 22nd, from 9:30 to 10:30, we'll have a parent meeting for mission trips. There will be two mission trip options this on the summer of 2022. That's next summer. For students in the 8th grade through early college. Another parent meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, September 1st. The first mission trip will be at the Navajo Reservation in Arizona to build homes and provide a VBS program. The second one will be at the National Youth Gathering in Houston, Texas. Parents and students are invited to attend one of these meetings to find out more details. Also, a number of our St. Mark's members are going to the My Life Banquet on Thursday, August 19th. If you would like to join us, talk to Mike Kennedy, Angie Geiler, or Alice Brassey. It is at Andres in Fenton. And August 29th will be a blessing of the backpacks. All ages are welcome to join in. Bring your backpack and receive a special backpack clip to remind you of God's love and protection throughout the school year. Whew. Well, these are the many announcements, and I imagine they're going to be in the bulletin next week as well, so it's going to be a thick bulletin. So we just thank you all for worshiping with us today. God's blessing to you all. Go forth in his peace and serve the Lord. Amen.